Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, May 14, 2020. We'll begin with the front page. Cases in the county in big letters. 2 months ago Friday, local health officials announced the first known local case of COVID-19, a Champaign County woman in her 50s who'd been in contact with someone who had traveled to Italy. Since early March, 6,298 county residents have been tested. 322 got the result they didn't want, and 7 have lost their lives. In Champaign-Urbana, Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride has said repeatedly the actual number of cases would likely be considerably higher if more testing was available countywide earlier. Here, using data of positive tests by zip codes, is an overview of the Champaign County cases we do know about, both the 147 considered active and the 168 deemed recovered. And there's a nice map on the front of the News Gazette showing the various zip codes and how many cases there are in there. Illinois impact. 192 deaths, a new single-day high. Pritzker threatens action for violators. One day after setting new 24-hour highs for most confirmed cases, 4,014, and tests conducted, 29,266, Illinois on Wednesday reported its most fatalities in a 24-hour span, 192. Since the start of the pandemic, a total of 3,601 Illinoisans have died after testing positive for COVID-19, according to state public health officials. That's the sixth most nationally, behind New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. 3 of the 15 confirmed cases in Ford County have been linked to congregate living facilities, according to the County Public Health Department. No further information about those cases is being provided. Governor J.B. Pritzker had his strongest words yet for elected officials and business owners who defy the terms of the stay-at-home order, saying federal funding and state licensing could be jeopardized by their actions. Plus, he added, local law enforcement and the Illinois State Police can and will take action. Addressing elected officials during the daily COVID-19 briefing, he said, 192 Illinoisans lost their lives to this virus the past 24 hours. 192. How is that not real to you? To these elected leaders out there who are pandering to the crowd that ignores the science, step up and lead. Now more than ever, your community needs you. Don't let them down. State lawmakers will return to Springfield next week for the first time in more than 2 months to take up a budget and other matters. The special session has been scheduled for next Wednesday through Friday. And then there's a breakdown by zip code. 61820, the lone Champaign police officer who tested positive for COVID-19, has been back at work since April 14th under the appropriate guidance and timeline set forth by public health, CPD's Tom Yelich said Wednesday. 61866, with 83 employees having tested positive as of Wednesday, Rantoul Foods has more confirmed cases than 73 of Illinois' 102 counties, and testing is ongoing. 61802, after 4 confirmed cases of the University Rehabilitation Center of CU and 1 at Clark Lindsay, every resident at both facilities was tested. The resident of Clark Lindsay's Meadowbrook Health Center has recovered and is doing well, Village's Karen Blatzer said Wednesday. 61877, on April 30th, the Village of Sydney, population 1,207, became the 12th and most recent Champaign County town to report a case. 61843, Fisher, with 1,956 residents, is the most populous of 11 incorporated towns without a confirmed case. The others, Bonneville, Broadlands, Foosland, Gifford, Ivesdale, Longview, Ogden, Philo, Royal, and Sadorus. Champaign, 61820212225, Urbana, 61801, 02, Savoy, 61874, Homer, 61849. Okay, I'm confused about this part of the graphic. Okay, I guess those are the first ones were 51 plus cases, then 21 to 50, then 1 to 20, and 0 cases. The common thread among local deaths. More than 60% of Champaign County's COVID-19 cases have been among kids, teens, and adults 40 and younger. But the common thread among the mostly older adults who have died of the disease has been underlying health conditions. The 7 Champaign County residents who have died have been immune compromised or have had such other comorbid conditions as high blood pressure, diabetes, and COPD, according to Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Deputy Administrator Awas Vade. Some of the 7 deaths have been people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Another was a woman in her 60s, and the most recent announced Tuesday was a woman in her 40s with multiple comorbid conditions, Vade said. Whether COVID-19 is considered to be the primary cause of death or a contributing factor, it's still counted as a COVID-19 death, Vade said. The potential for hypertension to be an underlying factor in more serious COVID-19 cases is vast, since nearly half of the U.S. adults have hypertension and only about one-fourth of them have their high blood pressure under control. A study published in April late that included 5,700 patients hospitalized with COVID-19 in the New York area found the most common comorbidities were hypertension, obesity, and diabetes. Controlling blood pressure with medications can be protective, Vaid said, but if you are not and aren't well controlled, that can be a greater risk. While there haven't been any deaths among younger people in Champaign County to date, the number of cases in people 40 and younger have been multiplying because there are simply more young adults out in the community working essential jobs, Vaid said. And he said younger adults are also more likely to be living in apartments which have commonly touched surfaces and higher population densities. It's likely that the 22 people 10 and younger who have become infected in Champaign County are mostly kids of essential workers out in the community and or living in apartments, Vaid said. One good thing with the recent cases we have seen is the last 2 weeks a lot of these individuals are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic, he said. That's why you have not seen hospitalizations. 500 being monitored. The significant factor in the recent upswing in the Champaign County cases has been the outbreak at Rantoul Foods, Vaid said. The outbreak linked to the plant held at 83 cases Wednesday with no additional positive cases. The issue with outbreaks is, once it's in a facility, it pretty much infects the majority of the people who are there if they're not following the guidelines, he said. Some employees at the Rantoul plant work more than one job and are living in multi-person households, raising the potential for spread in the community, Vaid said. Champaign County should begin to see a decline in the number of new cases later this week, he projected. Rantoul Foods is requiring all current employees to be tested in order to come to work, Vaid said. Among those who haven't been tested may be some who were on the employee list but no longer working there, he said. If they're not employed anymore, there's no way to force them to get tested, Vaid said. Tracing the context of Rantoul Foods-related cases is still underway, he said. Countywide, including Rantoul Foods-related cases and others, the health district is currently monitoring 500 people who have been in contact with others who have been infected, Vaid said. Small towns, small totals. There are two possible reasons some communities, such as Sydney, Homer, Pisotum, Ludlow, and Tolono, have had so few cases of COVID-19. One of them, hopefully they are maintaining social distancing and not coming into contact with positive cases, which is a good sign, Vaid said. The other possible reasons is there may have been more cases in these zip code areas than have been confirmed because people with mild cases did what they were told to do early on and stayed home and they were never tested, he said. Testing to expand by June. Look for COVID-19 testing to be available to anyone who wants to be tested in Champaign County by June 1st, Vaid said. Champaign County already is among those counties in the state with the highest level of testing outside Chicago, he said. and since Carl began processing tests locally, results are coming in much faster, in 24 hours as opposed to the 2 to 3 day wait in other communities, Vaid said. Jim not in compliance. Nearly all businesses in Champaign County have been compliant with the governor's executive order. Vaid said he could recall the public health district needing to send just a few cease and desist letters to local businesses. With one exception, the letters resulted in compliance, he said. The exception, the Zone Gym in St. Joseph, has been referred to the state's attorney's office, Vaid said. Ask the admin, a daily question for Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. When the Illinois Department of Public Health reports the people who have died, who tested positive for COVID-19, is it worded in a way that makes me ask, is everyone who dies in the state tested for COVID-19 so that IDPH can report that a certain number of people who die on any given day had COVID-19 regardless of the cause of death? Answer. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID-19 at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID-19 death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID-19 death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID-19 at the time of the death. This is how IDPH has decided to report COVID deaths. There may be some concern about over-reporting of deaths, but on the other hand, there may be many under-reported deaths due to lack of testing. According to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, no matter how these deaths are currently being attributed, after this pandemic terminates, an excellent approximation of the true fatality rate of COVID-19 deaths can be made by the calculation of the excess mortality for the period. Have an essential job? Get tested, district pleads. COVID-19 testing was so tightly restricted for months, you may have missed hearing this news. Testing is not only more readily available, the CU Public Health District is urging everyone working in a local job deemed essential to be tested whether they have symptoms or not. Health insurers are covering the cost of testing as long as it's been ordered by a physician, said Awas Vaid, the health district's deputy administrator. Note to essential workers who test negative, you can't relax on social distancing, mask wearing, hand washing, disinfecting, and all the other measures to help prevent the spread of the virus. That's because testing negative today doesn't mean you can't become infected tomorrow. So why bother being tested at all if you don't have symptoms? Vaid said there are likely to be some infected people who don't have symptoms yet or will never have them, and they could be out spreading the virus. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. Sherry Hench is making the most of her time and talents to lift the spirits of a whole lot of people, many of them strangers. From a workshop in her house on Washington Street in Sydney, the 77-year-old has made from scratch more than 200 beautifully crafted cards, each stamped with a positive message and handwritten note. With help from her husband of 54 years, Bill, she mailed packets stuffed with them to assisted living centers in Champaign and Douglas counties, as well as individual cards to those who requested one. "She's passionate," said Bill, who lugs the goodies to the post office on David Street. In the card-making business for years, Sherry is good at what she does. If you'd like to receive one or thank her for her efforts, email me, jrosso@newsgazette.com, and I'll pass it on. "With this COVID-19 thing, I thought, what could I do to keep busy?" she said. "This is a way to help people and keep my mind going." Peoria County unveils sub-regional plan. Governor J.B. Pritzker's regional plan to reopen Illinois does not play in Peoria. Peoria County officials on Wednesday unveiled their own COVID-19 reopening plan for a region of 11 counties, which officially says will allow the area to take a more localized approach that better protects public and economic health. The proposed plan, which Peoria officials have dubbed Restore Heart of Illinois, seeks to amend Pritzker's four-region Restore Illinois plan by carving the 11-county area out of the 27-county North Central region. The subregion, which is based on commuter data, includes the metropolitan areas of Peoria and Bloomington, and Peoria, Tazewell, Woodford, Fulton, Marshall, Stark, McLean, Livingston, Bureau, Putnam, and LaSalle counties. "We're not really that different," Peoria County Health Administrator Monica Henriksen said of the three-stage subregion plan and the state's five-phase plan. "The difference is really in the details, where, depending on the entity, we are asking for variations to maybe bring forward something that might not be seen until phase three of recovery earlier in a stage." The subregional reopening would rely on many of the same metrics that the Illinois Department of Public Health is using, such as healthcare system capacity and trends of new cases. However, it weaves together certain parts of the middle three phases of Pritzker's five-phase plan, which has the entire state in phase two until the end of May. Teacher of the Week. "I'm really passionate about early literacy." When Dominique McCotter worked with students and teachers, she keeps in mind that she's building a skill that will last a lifetime for the children of Unit 4. During remote learning, the district's reading recovery teacher, leader, and teaching and learning coordinator simply wants to make sure kids of Champaign keep reading. "I find my work important because I have the unique opportunity to work with and team and learn from so many of the wonderful educators and students in our district. I'm really passionate about early literacy, and much of the work I do in my role supports teachers with helping students become lifelong readers. I became a teacher because I was inspired by so many teachers that I worked with throughout my career. Teachers have the remarkable opportunity to be change agents in the lives of children, and I felt inspired to do that same work. I'm engaging students or helping teachers engage students during remote learning by collaborating with teachers, administrators, and other district colleagues to gather resources and activities for families to use for at-home learning. It has been a great opportunity to pool all of our collective knowledge and experience to create meaningful learning opportunities for our children. The most unique lesson I've taught was when I was teaching first grade, my colleagues and I were teaching a social studies unit on celebrations. As a culminating activity, we had a giant Celebrations Around the World festival with the students. They were able to learn about several cultures and their customs. It was a joint collaboration between the school and families and was really fun. My most fulfilling moments on the job are the times I could reconnect with students who haven't been seen in a long time. I always enjoy reconnecting with former students and hearing about all the amazing things they are up to. It also helps me to remember how quickly the time passes, and it's important for me to act with a sense of urgency. I'm also passionate about family and friends. Anytime I can spend laughing and making memories with my family and friends is a time I greatly cherish. My own favorite teacher was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Sewell. She was the first teacher that made a strong impression on me. She was kind but firm and had high expectations for her students. I could tell she really cared about helping us reach our true potential. We have Jim Dye's column, "Dem Party Boss One Day, Resigned the Next." The politically toxic game of musical chairs at the Champaign County Democratic Party goes round and round. Last week, the Illinois State Board of Education elections in Springfield identified State Representative Carol Ammons of Urbana as the county party's new boss. This week, the state agency identifies incumbent Miriam R. Rahim, Ammons' rival, as the head of the county party's central committee, and describe Ammons as among previous officers in her case having resigned her post Monday. What's going on? The local confusion caught the attention of election officials in Springfield, who say they have no choice but to identify the county chair based on the latest reports submitted. "We have to accept the reports they send us," said Matt Dietrich, the board's public information officer. "We're strictly ministerial." Dietrich said the ongoing bitter battle between Ammons and R. Rahim over which one is the real party chairwoman is something they have to work out on their own. Ammons supporters claim she was elected party chairwoman at an April 15th virtual meeting. R. Rahim supporters counter that she was elected to her third term as chairwoman at an April 22nd virtual meeting. But there's a confrontation looming that has the potential to bring the dispute to a head. 2 months ago, Champaign County Board Chair Geraldo Rosales appointed Marisol Hughes to the treasurer's post vacated by Laurel Pressing. Rosales was targeted for defeat in the March 17th primary by the wing of the party led by Carol Ammons and her husband, County Clerk Aaron Ammons. Rosales was among four incumbent board Democrats defeated by candidates put forward by Ammons' wing. Now, in what would be a further effort to consolidate power under Ammons, is leading a subcommittee to identify a candidate to slate for a treasurer. At the same time, the R. Rahim wing of the party could also slate a candidate. If they slated different candidates, the issue might require litigation to resolve. Because of the timing of Pressing's resignation, the last half of her four-year term must be filled by a candidate elected in November. Both parties have the opportunity to slate candidates. Hughes said Wednesday that she's hopeful that Democratic County Committee members will back her bid to be elected to her office, to the office she now fills by appointment. I am submitting my name to be slated, she said. I don't have any idea if I will be slated, but I would love to do that. However, other candidates aligned with the Ammons are said to be interested in being slated. Among them are Cunningham Township Assessor Wayne Williams, an enthusiastic backer of Carol Ammons for chairwoman. He's publicly denied interest in being slated, saying he's focused on being re-elected assessor. Another potential candidate is Michelle Jett, a longtime political operative in the Ammons' organization, who currently works as a director of training in the county clerk's office. Jett declined to speak to the News Gazette regarding her intentions. In 2018, Jett, a former chief of staff and campaign manager for Carol Ammons, foreshadowed the fight for control of the local party by challenging R. Rahim's bid for a second term as chairwoman. Potentially complicating a possible candidacy, Jett is among the members of the subcommittee Carol Ammons appointed to address the slating issue. That was an interesting twist because Jett is not a precinct committee woman. In a party communication dated Monday, Carol Ammons said applications will be vetted by an internal panel, and one applicant will be slated as the Democratic candidate and be on the November ballot for the position of Champaign County Treasurer. Democrats are confident after their sweep of county offices in 2018. It has become increasingly clear that Champaign County is a Democratic county, and it's time our elected officials, boards, commissions, and policies reflected that Carol Ammons told members. Neither Ammons nor R. Rahim have agreed to speak to the media, as the fight over the chairwoman's post has sparked ill will among Democrats. Ammons has kept a low media profile ever since being implicated in an alleged shoplifting incident that is under investigation by the state appellate prosecutor's office. One of Ammons' aides indicated in an email Friday that Ammons might answer written questions. Representative Ammons would be happy to answer any county chair relevant questions you have via email. You're welcome to send them to me, wrote Jenna Sicanius, who identified herself as friend of Carol Ammons' communications director. The News Gazette responded with a handful of questions, but has received no response. New Champaign County judges. Besides a pandemic that completely changes the way justice is administered, 2020 will bring at least three new faces, possibly four, to the bench in Champaign County. Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman revealed two new judges Wednesday. Benjamin Ben Dyer, an assistant in the Champaign County Public Defender's Office representing poor people accused of felonies, has been chosen to fill the vacancy created by Jeff Ford's retirement in March. He starts June 1st. Sam Lamentato, a Champaign attorney who concentrates on civil litigation, will begin August 3rd. He fills the seat of Heidi Ladd, who will retire July 1st. Both of them were ranked exceptionally well qualified by my committee, said Garman, who had to interview the men via Zoom while people stay apart to avoid coronavirus. Her seven-member team screening panel did the same. Lamentato joked that even though his interviews saw him only from the chest up, he wore a whole suit and acted like I was in the same room with them. They were chosen from 12 applicants for the resident judgeships. That means when they run for office in November 2022, they have to be elected only from Champaign County, as opposed to all six counties of the 6th Judicial Court. Both men said they plan to run, Dyer as a Democrat and Lamentato as a Republican. The other new face on the bench this fall will be either Ramona Sullivan, a Democrat running for retired Judge Mike Jones's seat, or her opponent, Republican Sherry Kessler. Republican Judge Jason Bohm is running for the circuit-wide seat of retiring Judge Tom DeFantis in November. He's being opposed by Champaign attorney Scott Lerner, running as a Democrat. Circuit judges in Illinois earn $202,433 a year. Benjamin Wheeling Dyer worked to do an excellent job. Working as a staff member for U.S. Senator from Missouri, Ben Dyer realized there were skills he needed and wanted to acquire beyond his undergraduate history degree. I was working for Claire McCaskill in 2007 in her district director in Southeast Missouri. It was during a farm bill reauthorization year, said Dyer. I realized working and talking to farmers that some of these problems and questions were interesting, but I wasn't a lawyer. I was 26. I found myself identifying and packaging issues and sending them off to attorneys in Washington, D.C., and they would figure out the language. Over time, I thought that seems to be where the action is. Sam Anthony Lamentato, looking forward to a new challenge. Although he's been a lawyer in Champaign County for 25 years, and not everyone who works in the county courthouse in Urbana recognizes Sam Lamentato by his name or face. The 50-year-old Champaign man has had a robust civil practice that took him to several other counties in the western part of the state, he explained. Formerly working with Ken Torricelli, Lamentato said he and his partner had an amicable split last year, but for many of the 20 years they worked together, Lamentato said the lawyers divided their work geographically. I covered a lot of Peoria, Pekin, and Bloomington, while Ken stayed in Champaign, Danville, and Springfield, he said. Federal Reserve Chairman warns of possible sustained recession. Additional aid, though costly, would be worth it, Powell says. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned Wednesday of the threat of a prolonged recession resulting from the viral outbreak and urged Congress and the White House to act further to prevent long-lasting economic damage. The Fed and Congress have taken far-reaching steps to try to counter what is likely to be a severe downturn resulting from the widespread shutdown of the U.S. economy. But Powell cautioned that numerous bankruptcies among small businesses and extended unemployment for many people remains a serious risk. We ought to do what we can to avoid these outcomes, Powell said. Additional rescue aid for government spending or tax policies, though costly, would be worth it if it helps people avoid long-term economic damage and leaves us with a stronger recovery, he said. Powell spoke a day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, proposed a $3 trillion aid package that would direct money to state and local governments, households, and healthcare workers. This money would come on top of roughly $3 trillion in earlier financial assistance that the government has provided. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette, Part 1, for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Please stay tuned for Part 2.